I want to read a portion out of 1 Thessalonians 5 and also out of Psalm 92. As you note, the sermon title that I've put there is The Command of Thanksgiving. And I want us to know that this is not a commandment as such in the sense of the commandments of God. And remember that when we come into the thing that the law of God, and yet it follows from the law of God, because we're called upon in the very first of the Ten Commandments to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. And you know, there's things follow through after that as we come through the pages of Scripture. And we have the Apostle Paul, who is writing to the church at Thessalonica. And I have listed here for the verses 4 through 24, but I want to cut that down a little bit and bring it to down to 12 through 24. These are exhortations that the apostle gives to a church, which a congregation in Thessalonica was one which he commended highly. They were a group that they took to the gospel quickly, and they were serving the Lord very properly. It was a congregation which the apostle gives what we would say is he just gives a good word of it. And it is known that throughout that particular area, the congregation in Thessalonica was also well known for what they did in their work and the graciousness that they showed, their generosity, and so forth. So, beginning at verse 12 in 1 Thessalonians 5, "And we urge you, brothers, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brothers, warning those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. And now the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." Beautiful portion of Scripture there. But I want to draw your attention to that which we read in the 18th verse, when the Apostle Paul, he's giving basically a little short list here of in his admonishment or in his exhortation as such. And he says three very important things. He says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. And when we look at this, as we come to this portion of Scripture, and I just want to turn over into Psalm 92, and just a few verses out of Psalm 92, we read this. It's a good thing, to give thanks to the Lord, and to sing praises in your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning, your faithfulness every night, on an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute, and on the harp, with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. Now, when we look at this matter of Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving is, of course, a day of the week of this week that has been marked out and, at first by President Lincoln and the basic holiday was in November. I think it was originally on the third week in November, and then it was moved later on to the fourth week. And it's a holiday which we know that a lot of people like. Christians should love it, and they do, I believe, in many respects. But at the same time, as we think of Thanksgiving, we shouldn't think of Thanksgiving ever as a day. We should think of Thanksgiving as something that is tied in with our love for God and a love for his people and for the work that he has assigned us in doing, and which basically the apostle speaks here with regards to the pastors and elders and those teachers and so forth. We urge you, brother, recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. And then he goes on and he comes down and he speaks, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. And then he comes to this 16th, 17th, 18th verses. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in all things, give thanks. When we come into the pages of Scripture, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, we see that Thanksgiving is something that is for us to do. To be thankful. You have Thanksgiving, it's connected to prayer. You have Thanksgiving, which is connected to praise. You have Thanksgiving, which is connected to rejoicing. You have Thanksgiving, which is also connected to deliverance. We thank God for his deliverance of us. We pray for it in the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us from evil. We come and we have some of the, one of the great thanksgiving for deliverance you'll find back in the Old Testament with a prophet by the name of Jonah. And we remember Jonah. Jonah's famous in his name. People know the name Jonas, and where do they find it? They find it in the Old Testament. They find the book of Jonah. And I got to find the book of Jonah here in a moment. Okay, Jonah chapter 2. And take a look at that for a moment. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from his fish's from the fish's belly, and he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my afflictions, and he answered me. Now you take a look at Jonah. Jonah's in the belly of the whale. This is an interesting account that we have within the scriptures. He's in the belly of the whale. It's not a whale, we know. The belly of the great fish, the belly of that whatever creature that was, it was capable of carrying a man or a person or whatever in its stomach. Whole. And Jonah is in there, and you see what he says. He gives us this description that he's in the belly of the whale. Very poetic. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried. Now, you know, Sheol is basically the grave. Saying, I'm a dead man. I'm in the belly of the whale. I'm a dead man. I'm calling upon my Lord. Out of the belly of Sheol, out of the grave, I called, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea. And the description of this man's in great danger, and he knows it. Your billows and your waves passed over me. And then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. And then you find him, and he says, yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. Dead man's cry. And then he says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you in your holy temple. Jonah knew his difficulty. He knew his difficulty was brought on by his own actions. And he knew he had no help from anyone else but God. That's the only thing or the only one that could help him. And then he brings out this. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have owed. Salvation is of the Lord. It's a beautiful, beautiful text in the Word of God. Thanksgiving, you see, it's connected to deliverance. It's connected to your deliverance and my deliverance. When we think of that which Christ has accomplished for us through his death on the cross. Thankfulness. In all things, give thanks. Now that's a broad statement that the apostle makes. Some people would say, well, can we be Can we be thankful when we're in a great deal of trouble, if we have a great illness, if we have a death in our family, a friend, or what have you? And we know it sometimes, you know, we think of people who, when somebody either dies or they have a disease or have contracted something of a bad nature, and they say, well, I guess Christians should put on a smiley face, you know. No, that's not what Paul has in mind. But yet at the same time, he has in mind that we are to give thanks in all events of our life. Because we know, as the people and the children of God, that he has delivered us. He has delivered us through the cross of Jesus Christ. We also recognize it's connected to prayer. We're to sing praises to God. We see it in the various Psalms. We come to Psalm 92. We've read those first two verses. But if you look at the Psalms, and you start with Psalm 92, and you come through 92, it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. And then he gives a long list, basically, of the things that we are to praise him for, things that we are to be thankful for. You know, a lot of people wonder, well, Thanksgiving, what are we to be thankful for? We know a lot of people on Thanksgiving, not what they're waiting for is the football games. Well, we don't want to thank God for that. We want to thank God for what he's done for us. We want to give thanks not just the one day out of the year. We want to give thanks every day, every moment of our lives, if possible, that we give thanks to the Lord. Thank you for the breath that we breathe. Thank you for our creation. Thank you for sustaining us. Thank you for bringing us into the fellowship of the saints. Isn't that not a wonderful thing? That we can come together and call upon the name of our God and give him thanks for his grace towards us and give him thanks for those who surround us. We are thankful for our families. We're thankful for our friends. We're thankful for those who worship with us, calling upon the name of God. Paul also says, well, we're to rejoice. Yes, we're to rejoice. The Psalms cover that as well so many times. But thankfulness, of course, is connected to rejoicing. We have that song, Rejoice, and again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice that God looks upon us with grace and mercy, and he has not left us alone. I'm noticing I'm seeing the speaker here. And I thought, well, maybe I wasn't reaching you. I hope that you heard me. I know I have a low voice. that comes from medications that I take. But we have it now. Okay, it's a good thing, he says, to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, and to declare your loving kindness. But that's Psalm 92. We come to the Psalms that follow, and we see all of these things Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord, Psalm 95. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. And we do. We come and we're thankful to God that we can come into his presence, that we can call upon his name. You know, we have all the things that go around us in the world. In fact, the Apostle Paul speaks of that in that first Thessalonians 5. I can get back to that in a hurry. You know, he says, don't quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. And he gave that exhortation in the 14th verse where he says, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but also pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Now he's speaking basically to a congregation, which is a very fine congregation. And we need to be reminded of these things, you see. And we look around us today and we see, you know, the issues that are before us as we stand here presently at the moment. We look at some terrible things within our own country, a country which sets forth a day out of each year for Thanksgiving. But a country that passes laws that says a portion of our race, a portion of our people, a portion of mankind can kill others. Abortion. Abortion. It's promoted. It's promoted vigorously. And we have this day of thanksgiving. Our thanksgiving of that day is the thanksgiving that God has given us freedom, and it's a freedom that is connected to one thing, truth. The truth shall make you free. Without that truth, a person is bound forever to sin, destruction, and death. We give thanks to God for deliverance from death and destruction, and that he has made us free. Psalm 100, a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Our God has been faithful to his people from the beginning, even of the fall of Adam, to the present time, and it will continue forward all throughout eternity. To those who come to him by grace through faith and are brought into union with the Lord Jesus Christ. I cannot think of a greater reason for thanksgiving than for that which Christ has accomplished for us on the cross. Can you? I don't think so. In all things, give thanks. We're thankful to God for that which he has done for us. And we should not be shy of proclaiming that which he has done for us. That's one of the things we find in the Psalms. Sing praises to God. Sing praises for his creation. Sing praises for his supplying to us of that which sustains us, our food. Be thankful for all these things. Be thankful for the deliverances that he's brought. That's one of the things the children of Israel were to sing about. They were to sing about their deliverance, the deliverance out in the Exodus, the deliverance basically as God protected their kings and their thanksgiving for his promises concerning their redemption. We want to be a thankful people. We want to look to God. We want to come before him, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with great praise. With the hallelujahs, the praise the Lord's. The Apostle Paul reminds us in all things, give thanks. We have the prophets that remind us in all the deliverances that God has given. We are reminded by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we are to be thankful. Thankful for that which the Lord has done. Thankful for the cross that Christ has borne. Thankful for the blood that he shed to cover our sins. Let's be thankful. With thanksgivings every day of our living, in our prayers, in our praises, in our songs, in our living, in our meetings and greetings with others, Let us be thankful for that which God has accomplished for us through the death of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our blessed God and our Father, we come before you this day. And we are thankful that you give us the opportunity, our Lord, to come before you in our prayers and with our praises and with our thanksgivings. And let us be reminded, our Father, in this time of year in which we see much about Thanksgiving. We're thankful, Father, for the food that you put on our tables. We're thankful for our homes. We're thankful for our families. We're thankful for the roofs over our heads. We're thankful for that which we are clothed. We're thankful in all of these things. And yet, our Father, let us be very, very thankful for that which you have accomplished for us through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the manifestation of his love, which we have seen, and we do see, and will continue to see. And we're thankful, Father, for all that you supply to us spiritually, that you are our God, that you are our Savior, that you are our King, that you are indeed the Lord of Lords. And we thank you that you have given to us the freedom that we have, and we ask our Father, then pray with earnest and with fervence, that you would indeed help us in this time and in the struggles that we have within our own land, a land founded on the principles that are given to us in the commandments that you have supplied to us. And we ask that we would give thanks, our Father, for preserving it unto this day. And we plead, our God, that you would protect us and protect that freedom through the grace and the mercies that you show to your people. We are thankful that we can gather this morning to worship, to call upon your name. We are thankful, our Father, for your people, for the church, and for the blessings that you have given to it through the generations. And let us also be aware and understanding, our Father, that those who can praise your name, those who can call upon you, those who can give thanks, are those only who are united with you in Christ Jesus our Lord. And let us be fervent in our desire to proclaim his word, that you, in your grace and in your mercies, would make effectual application of it to the lives of men and women, to those whom you have chosen in Christ from before the foundations of the world, and bring them to the blessings of salvation and of grace and of mercy and of peace and of freedom. And hear us now, as we look to you, calling upon you through his most blessed name, he who is together with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen.